Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Fox Football Podcast. I'm Adam Peacock. We're setting aside this week's regular discussion to have an in-depth discussion with one of the biggest names in Australian football at the moment. He's in charge of the Western Sydney Wanderers after a fabulous career as a player, Marcus Babbel. That's the whole podcast, just me clapping. And you like reacting it. To my claps.
I really like it.
See you. It's like the RBB. See you. Marcus joins me right now. Thank you for dropping by, Marcus. I had to put on a collared shirt to keep up with you today because, yeah.
Thank you for inviting me and you're looking fine.
Ah, great. Thank you. That means a lot. Firstly, we'll touch on the season ahead. I want to get into some old stories of your playing days and what formed you as a manager as well. But are you glad this off-season is finally nearly over now that you're armed with the knowledge that you gained in your first season with Wanderers?
Yeah, it was strange for me to have a very long preseason. I never had this experience before, but it is like it is. I decided to come here, so I have to accept this. And to be fair, at the moment, I'm happy that we have this long preseason because we have a couple of injuries, and I'm really happy that we are not playing at the moment.
How much thought did you put into what you learnt last season, utilizing that information to prepare properly for this season? Did you have to change much?
Of course. The good thing is I have a year experience. I know how the Australian League works, how the preseason works, and of course we bring some experience in. Otherwise, I think from the training's intensity, what we do in training is not a big change, because I have the luck to work together with top guys, with Jean-Paul de Martinique. He knows the Australian football from 0 to 100. He knows every single player. So I have the luck to work with guys who knows it, how it works, and also I bring my knowledge in. And I think it's a good mix.
Because Australian football, if I was to liken Australian football to something, I'd say a plate of food. And if you haven't tasted the food, you can look at it and you can ask as many people as possible what it tastes like. But until you actually do it, like you did last year, taste Australian football, you don't really know, because it's got a unique kind of way.
Yeah, but in the end, we're talking about football. It's everywhere the same. Of course, the level is it's not Bundesliga, but I had the luck, the experience before was in Switzerland. It's very similar to here, and of course, it's a bit different because you only can bring 5 foreigners in, only 23 players, scholarship, 121 players. It's a bit strange, but I have the experience now, and in the end, we're talking about football, and I try to bring something in that the players remember me. With Marcus Babbel, it wasn't this bad.
Well, it's the continuation of that this season, and hopefully it improves for Wanderers. It's a big season ahead. We'll get to Wanderers and details a bit later on, but on that, about just it's still football. Styles of football. How would you say the style of football that's played today across the board is any different to when you first started playing? Is there huge differences, or is it essentially the same ideas just with different voices giving those ideas?
No, I have the feeling it changed a lot, because to my time, many teams wanted to have the ball and want to play forward, wanted to create chances. Now, if I see the international football, many teams staying in the back, waiting for mistakes, then they have the chance for a transition moment, counter attack, and many teams don't want to have the ball anymore. And you see the statistics, sometimes it's 70-30, sometimes 80-20, and the guys with the 20%, they won the game. And it's a bit sad because I think the quality is not so high anymore. It's only about defending. And And to be fair, if I love this game, and also if I go in a stadium, watch a game, I want to see teams who attacking forward, who try to create chances, who keep the ball and not just stay in the back, just defend. I have no problem if Bayern Munich plays against a small side that they're trying there and with these possibilities what they have to do the best. But also big teams, if I see the style, that was in the past a bit better.
Just a little bit negative. Is that to do with the fact that athleticism with players is so good, so it's there's a, or not so good, but there's a more of a focus on how athletic a player can be as opposed to how good he is with the ball at his feet, he or her, I should say.
This is a point, yeah. But otherwise, the pressure on the coaches is so high now. If you lose 3-4 games, then it starts to, you're in trouble. You know, the pressure comes, media, the supporters going angry with you, and if you lose 5 games, you got sacked, and then of course you try to get a result, and this moment is for you as a coach is not so important. How the team is playing, this is more important to get this result. And I was talking a lot, many clubs lost their identity. If I see to my time, I can speak about the German league, you know, Bayern Munich had a style, VfB Stuttgart had a style, Werder Bremen had a style. They had an identity. And if you see them now, you can't see anything, and this is only to survive in the league. And I don't know if this is the right way. And I feel a bit sad because many people asking me, how is the Australian league? Is it like second division, third division? I said, football-wise, I think it's better than the second division in Germany. Of course, the physically, even technically, the players in the second Bundesliga normally are better. But how they play, awful to watch.
Yeah. With your playing days, so you, Bayern Munich and then ended up at Stuttgart and obviously a time in England as well, what was the most enjoyable time of playing? Was it in a team that was successful, or was it in a team that played good football that wasn't as successful? Where did it sit for you?
Difficult to say because I really enjoyed all my stations as a player. But to be fair, Liverpool was the best time. I played an outstanding season because it was a bit different. I was a defender in Munich, come from the own academy, and no one recognized this. I was on the pitch, yeah, but the stars were different ones. And in Liverpool, it was the first time for me that I got something back from the supporters. And if I did a tackle, 500 people, 1,000 people stand up and were clapping their hands and, well done, Marcus. And I was thinking, what's going on here? And I really loved it in the end. And that was, for me, they accept that you can play badly, but you have to give 100%. You have to give everything. And there was definitely the sadness about it. I only played one season, but it was definitely my best season, and I enjoyed it.
What, so in Germany, they just sit on their hands a bit and expect you to do that anyway, so they just...
Yeah, there was, especially if you come from the academy, there was nothing special. Now you celebrate the young ones if they get up from their own academy. And this time was, okay, this is one of us, but we want to see stars, we want to... Every year they said, we need someone for Marcus Babbel because he's not good enough. And in the end, I was always playing. And after 6 years, I had enough. I was a local boy, played 16 years for this club, but I never got the respect what I thinking I normally had to get it. And then I decided to go to Liverpool. And to be fair, it wasn't the worst choice.
Yeah, it turned out all right. You had a really successful time there, even though you got pretty sick health-wise. But just back to coming through as a kid, I've actually been, I think it was last year, I went to the Bayern Munich Academy. It had just opened and it was like, far out. There was the 5,000-seater stadium for the under-19s to play in. There was like 8 pitches, 2 synthetic. The other 6 were like, look like synthetic, the beautiful grass, like a billiard table. They had the indoor basketball stadium, which they could play futsal in. There was a beach volleyball court. There was basketball courts. There was a running track being built. It is just extraordinary. Was it like that in your day?
Definitely not. And I don't know if this is so good for the young ones, because this is not the reality. If you see now how many young ones getting up to the first team at the moment, zero players. And I'm a bit scared, because at this time, if I was there, we were only local boys. We were Munich and around Munich. And I think under 17 came one player from Austria, but he wanted to come. So it wasn't that one on scout of Bayern Munich took him. So he did a trial, and yeah, he was good enough. He stayed with us. And now I'm not seeing many local guys anymore. And I still believe the guys are there, but they have no chance. That's the reason why 60 Munich in the youth is successful than Bayern Munich. And this is, in my eyes, madness. And especially...
1860.
Saying? 1860, the the second club in Munich. And I'm not sure if this is so good for the young ones, especially if they have to move. Some players... They're quite sharp in the head, so they went on loan to a second Bundesliga team, and that's not the reality. You know, do you have normal changing rooms? You don't have these pitches, you don't have these facilities, and first of all, if you come somewhere, you get a shock, because you think, oh, what's going on here? But this is the reality. This what Bayern Munich now had. This is, in my eyes, not normal. And I was talking to really a famous coach. He was also a coach of my time, very important guy. And he also said, now every single player nearly has a own physiotherapist, a masseur. And this is not normal.
In under 14.
This is not normal anymore. And I'm not sure if this is so good for the young players.
We'll see how it turns out. That's the thing about youth. You don't really know until after the effect. Like when they've come through, and if it's worked out for them, if it does work out. But Bayern, still a very special place for you. How did you, like, they were known as in the 90s, they had this tag FC Hollywood. Now, I don't know if that's a load of bullshit or it was actually
true.
It was true.
Definitely.
Why was it true?
Yeah, because we were every day in the papers. You have to understand, Lothar Matthäus was working together with a paper, Franz Beckenbauer was working together with a paper, Uli Hoeneß and Karl-Heinz Rummenigge were working together with a paper, and they always got inside informations. And the good thing was, you know, the Bild-Zeitung is one of the biggest papers in Germany, and the good thing was that the people couldn't believe what's in the paper. That was the only good thing, because 90% of them what was in the paper was the truth.
But they didn't believe the truth.
You couldn't believe it. It was so mad. You couldn't believe it. And they always say, the Bild is writing stupid things. I said, hey, this is the truth. You know, this...
Is it about, like, was it about personal lives? Like, they were intrusioning on...
It was everything.
It was an intrusion on personal
lives. It was
life.
Everything. It was private. Life, it was football inside information, it was a fight on the training crowd, it was everything was there, and we always created. If it was too quiet, then I always had the feeling, so now we create something that the club is in the papers, because bad news also good news, you know, everyone is talking about you. And but a very tough time for us players, because you're always under pressure, you know, because the supporters, they go mad if they read all the time bad things. And it was a really hard time.
Yeah, because we see that Bayern Munich, great big club, fantastic stadium, always played in front of big crowds. I mean, even Oktoberfest, you get to go and like pose in front of your Lederhosen and have the big beers and look like you're having a great time. But that was just the front of it. Like behind, there was a lot of heat going on. And like, was it almost not enjoyable football sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. Because if you see, and this is what I mean, is a big difference now, this generation to our generation, we had characters, unbelievable. Difficult characters. If you see Lothar Matthäus, Oliver Kahn, Mario Basler, Thomas Helmer, Jürgen Klinsmann, respect to the coach that he could handle this, but normally you got mad.
Who was the best manager that you had in terms of not only when you were playing and you enjoyed playing, but now that you look back and you get the most out of your time with them, because it helps you as a manager now?
Difficult to say because I had luck, had really good ones. But also, if I wasn't happy with this manager, you learn from them. You know, this is I don't do this what he was doing because I didn't like it. And why I have to do is now with my boys, you know.
Still a lesson.
Yeah. So Trapattoni was for me tactically and technically what I learned the most. He was outstanding. But also Ottmar Hitzfeld, how he handled this difficult group, that was amazing. And but also others. You know, Otto Rehhagel, how he was talking to in the meetings to us, it was fantastic. And
why? How would he talk to you?
He always brought stories. You know, he was telling a story, and it was so funny, and you had to laugh. Sometimes we were lying down on the floor because we had so much laugh.
But then he'd get on the level of the players.
So and I was thinking, what the hell is he doing? You know, why is he telling this? You know, but we were laughing. But now I understand. Yeah, he because he also had you were nervous in front of a game, big games, and the pressure is there. He wanted to take out the pressure, you know, and it was fantastic. And for me now, it's not a big surprise that he won with Greece the European Championship. Only he can win it with this a team like this, with a country like this, because normally it's not possible to win a trophy with them. He won it, and also with Werder Bremen, he was very successful. And it wasn't working 100% with us, with Bayern Munich, but I learned a lot.
Delving into a bit of research ahead of this, I did do a bit of research ahead of this, which is unusual sometimes, but Giovanni Trapattoni, the manager that you mentioned first there, it's got lost a little in the English-speaking world, but one of the great blow-ups in front of the cameras for the press, like sitting there going, oh my God, this is like a present on Christmas Day in the middle of March 1998, was when he sat there for 3 minutes and just went berserk at three players in particular at Bayern Munich, Mario Basler, Mehmet Scholl and Thomas Stuntz. Now, you were there at the time and he had a right go at them because he perceived them to be having a go at him through the press. What was that time like? And again, a learning out of everything that happened there.
Yeah, very difficult team first, very difficult characters there. And the funny thing on this is Thomas Strunz, I think he's the famous one of these three in this speech, what he did. And the funny thing is he didn't do anything. He only said, I don't understand why I wasn't playing, but I have to respect the decision. That was the only thing what he was saying. And Mehmet Scholl and Mario Basler, they gave bad interviews about the coach. But Thomas Strunz got smashed, and we were laughing because what did he wrong? You know, we couldn't understand it.
I think Trapattoni said that they have the value of an empty bottle of water.
Yeah.
Strunz, what's he going on about? He's only fit 25% of the time.
He's always injured, and I remember quite good. And but he was the fella who didn't do anything. It was just a normal interview after the game. He said, I can't understand why I wasn't playing, but I have to respect the decision. The other two guys gave 100% on the coach, and he got smashed. And for him was a bit unlucky in this moment because, you can imagine, the whole Germany was talking about FC Hollywood is there. Yeah. Even in worldwide, you know, we were laughing about this interview. And but I saw him 2-3 years ago, and I said, how is it going? You still recognize the people you? He said, still not about because I was a good player. They all recognize me about the interview from Giovanni Trapattoni. I mean,
this is a guy that won a European championship and all those trophies.
Yeah, he was, and then, well, to be fair, he was a really good footballer, you know. Yeah. He was, the problem was he was a lot of times injured, but if he was fit, he was an outstanding player. And but I can't remember him as a player more from the interview.
And Trapattoni, how was the next time you saw Trapattoni after that? Were you running laps or were you...
Yeah, of course we had a laugh, but you have to understand Trapattoni is a top guy, really, really gentleman. You can't be upset with him, you know, because he's always trying to bring you on the next stage, on the next level. And even if you're not playing, you can't be angry with him because he's a lovely fella. And it wasn't easy with him, but to be fair. It was a hard time. But I learned a lot with him, you know, and I'm really grateful that I had him.
Did you last season with Wanderers, did you ever lose your mind like he did in that press conference?
Not really. I try to be calm, sometimes not easy. If you see, like Wednesday, if you see a performance who's not...
The cup.
Expecting this performance, then you're angry, but more inside than outside.
Because I was sitting next to you when you got sent off at the SCG. I think you were really hard done by that night because you didn't say anything. You just threw, like, you were very, very calm. You were smiling and laughing and joking, and then one decision, you didn't like it. You threw your jacket down. You said something in the direction of the fourth official, and then bang, you were off. It was unfortunate, I thought.
Yeah, especially if this is now it comes to experience. I'm 1 year here now. On the weekend, I saw a player smashing in front of the referee, other player, and he got a fail over $1,300, and that's it, you know. And
in different football, game. Yeah.
you throw your jacket away, and then you get sent off, and for the next game, you're also sent off. Yeah, this is football.
It was crazy. What was it about Liverpool then? That hooks you, and it happens to so many players. I mean, fans seem so not just in love with the club, but it's like it overtakes their lives, a lot of these fans. What is it about this football club? And I'm not saying that they're unique, that it doesn't happen at other football clubs, but Liverpool kind of stands out in many respects, that it kind of hooks people in.
Definitely.
Why?
Difficult to say. This club is special. I had the luck to play for this fantastic club, and the spirit, the city, the club. I don't know what it is, but it is magic, you know. And especially if you have night games, they're always unbelievable. Because friends of mine visit me, and we had an afternoon game, and said, yeah, atmosphere is okay, but this is not special. Everyone is talking about Anfield. And I said, yeah, wait. On Wednesday night, we play again, and you come in the stadium. And I don't know what it is. It's unbelievable.
It's drinking time before the game for the fans.
I don't know. Maybe it could be, yeah. But this is... Nah, but also the love what they have to this club.
Yeah.
This is amazing. This is unreal. And they have so much passion. And they live for this club. And also this city, hardworking city. Areas, very rough areas. But if you talk about football, then you're once. It doesn't matter if you have a tie on or you come in the worst suit what you can have. Then you're once, you know. And this is so fantastic. And of course, in the past, many things have happened to Liverpool. You know, Hillsborough, also Heysel, in the European Cup, very bad story, and they lost also many supporters, you know. And but the club is celebrating them every year, and also the club is doing a lot for the supporters. And I can't tell you with one thing what about this club, you know. You have to get in. You have to feel the spirit, especially if it's game day. This is different to other teams.
So even if you went back there now, even though it was nearly 20 years ago that you were at your height as a player and playing for Liverpool, that they'd instantly recognise you as the guy that helped us out in that great season, not the guy that got sick after that and we barely saw him again, or the guy that used to play for Germany and played one season for us. You feel part of
definitely. I had the luck in the summer break. I was talking to Jürgen Klopp, and it was in front of the Champions League final, and I wish you all the best, because I can't hear this bullshit anymore that you always be second, be second, because you do a fantastic job and the people loves you, and we follow you because we are ones, you know, and the style how you play football is amazing, is fantastic, and really cross the finger that you will win this, not because then is this done, because you deserve it. You deserve this for yourself, but also for the club. And I played the 25th Zamorini Hillsborough. I got invited from them, and the people recognize still you. This is amazing, you know. In Munich, if I walk on the street, no one recognizes me anymore. But in Liverpool, you, Marcus Babbel, how are you? And hey, great that you were playing for us. And this is just still amazing, unbelievable.
Klopp played for Mainz. He was second division and you were first. Did you ever play against him in cup games or anything like that?
We played at home a cup game. I could remember in the Olympic Stadium. I think it was 9,000 people were in the stadium, you know, 72,000 big.
So no one, yeah.
And 7,000 were from Mainz. So it was more or less a away game from us and he was playing, but... I scored this game 1-0.
Did you jump over him from
No, we beat them 2-0. But he was a hard-working player. He wasn't not the skillfulest player, but running a lot and hard-working.
So does that then translate, do you think, for players who become managers, that they hold on to a little bit about what worked for them as a player? Okay, some players are unbelievable. Like, look at Maradona. Mm. You couldn't get a more skillful player, but hasn't exactly worked out for him as a manager because is it... the relatability that you have to have with players. And Klopp looks like a guy who gets his players and motivates them in the right way. He sees them as individuals and motivates them in the right way. And do you go about your business in a similar way?
Oh, difficult to say.
Not saying he's good tactically.
If you talk to Jürgen Klopp, he has something he's catching you.
Charisma.
He has charisma. And it's unbelievable. If he's talking, you listen to him. And if he's saying, hey, we have to go on the right way, everyone is going on the right way. And that's him. He has this insight. This is not, he's not playing anything. He's just himself all the time. If I see him, he's always the same. Even if you have a phone call with him, you think you know him for 100 years and he's a great lad. And he has it inside. Maradona, different, you know. I'm not sure if he's the smartest guy in the world, you know, or the cleverest one in the world. And I think he was more individual. He wasn't a team player because he was this good, you know. Everyone was following him as a player because he made the difference. But I don't know if he can handle a group and what it means to talk to defenders, to midfield players. Maybe easier for him to talk to strikers, but I think for Maradona it's very difficult because everyone is watching him. Still now, everyone is looking. What is he doing? And also as a coach, you know, then drug problems, not the best lifestyle.
Example set.
And then you stay in front of the guys and say, hey, listen, you can't drink and you have to prepare you for tomorrow. I don't know if you can believe this, you know.
Is that why you go after a game sometimes and just hide in a corner where no one can see you and have your cigarette to calm down? It's like you don't want to get this across to your players.
I think as a coach, two options, you drink or you smoke. I can't drink every day, so I prefer the cigarette. And of course, yeah, that's what I need to calm down to, because the biggest mistakes you do if you have emotions, you know, and sometimes you say, oh, mamma mia, what did I say? Because I was too emotional, you know, and I need this little break after the game to calm down, to analyze the game, and then I hope I find the right words.
Just before we get more in depth with Wanderers to see us out, did you ever nearly sign for a club and then look back on it now and go, oh, thankfully I didn't, or I wish I did?
No,
because players always have these choices.
No, not really. I'm very happy with this, what I did till now. You know, the only thing, but it was also important. I was 1 year on loan in Blackburn. To be fair, there wasn't my club, and I was not feeling very comfortable there. But it was important because I got match practice back, you know, because it was after my illness. Had no chance to play in Liverpool, so it was still good for me that I got games in my legs, but it wasn't my club. But you also learn from this, you know. Till now, I'm very happy with my way.
With the illness, Guillain-Barré, I think I've pronounced that as well as I can, when you're sitting there and you're thinking, okay, well, this could be the end of that in terms of playing football, do you confront a lot of things and then after it, you see things a lot clearer, or is it just a passage and then you get back to your normal self?
The good thing was I never was thinking like this. For me, it was clear I'm coming back. The biggest problem what I have, because in the beginning, they wanted to protect me, and they have 14 days and maybe another week, and till I found out, hey, this is not the truth what they're saying to me, and say, listen, please tell me what's going on. How long does it take, you know? And they say, listen, we don't know, because we don't have this experience with a professional footballer, you know, and it can be half a year, it can be a year, it can be 2 years. Mm-hmm. We don't know it.
So you physically...
And then I said, okay, but this is an answer now for me, and now come on, let's go, let's work. And to be fair, I had really luck. I came back. After this, I realized how bad this illness is and how much luck I had. And I had the luck. I was professional footballer in a good age. If the physiotherapist was showing me exercises after the second time, I knew it, how it works. And so all this helped me. And but afterwards, I realized how dangerous and how bad this illness is. And but in this moment, I was, when I'm coming back, tell me 14 days, 3 weeks, okay, working now. And then I found out, okay, after 3 weeks, still not good.
Yeah.
And after another 3 weeks, still not good. I said, listen, boys, tell me what's going on. And from this moment on, my head was clear, okay, maybe half a year, maybe a year. There's a target now, and let's go.
One last one on your playing days before we move on to the Wanderers. Sorry, I lied there. What's your best moment you had in a German shirt?
German shirt.
96?
Yeah, 96, of course. If you can win a trophy for your country, this is something special. But I have a lot of good memories with the national team.
96, beating England as well on their home soil. Must have been nice.
But to be fair, there wasn't, for me, one of the most difficult games, not because England had a good side or Alan Shearer was this good or Sheringham. Because the crowds were singing for 120 minutes and I couldn't concentrate me for the game, because I was always listening what they're singing, and it was so fantastic, and I really fell in love with the supporters. But it was very difficult because I couldn't concentrate me on the game. And this semi-final was very terrible to play for me.
You were playing centre-back, weren't you?
I played centre-back and had Shearer, Sheringham, and the worst in the world. And you have to be focused if you play against these guys, you know. But I couldn't concentrate me because they were singing non-stop and one song better than the other one. And it was a nightmare for me to play. Seriously, it was one of the hardest games ever.
Because, you look at elite German footballers and you think, oh, they are robots. They are just so involved in what they are doing. It is interesting to hear.
I was like this, but really, it was amazing. The old Wembley Stadium, and also that's Wembley. And then the day before, you have the last training in the Wembley Stadium. I say, oh, how bad is this stadium? How old is this stadium? Awful. And I say, well, this is Wembley. I was really shocked.
Yeah.
And the next day with the crowds inside, I said, okay, now I know why it's Wembley.
People make football, and people make football great. And it was the fans on that occasion, but you got the result and you ended up with a trophy and a big smile on your face. But just back to Wanderers. And people do make football clubs, and I get the feeling that Wanderers, off the field, even though on the field it hasn't worked out for them for a couple of years, seem to be going in the right direction, because the people making the decisions there are making the right decisions, not just for the now, but for how it's going to look in 10, 20 years. You've just got this amazing training ground opened up. It might be a little bit too much in the eyes of what we were explaining before about Bayern Munich, but do you feel that as well, that the people inside the club are doing things for the right reasons for the club and not themselves?
Absolutely, absolutely. We have the luck to have a fantastic board in head with Paul Lederer, our chairman. If you see 7 years ago when the club started to now, it's unbelievable what the guys are doing. With John, our CEO, he lives 24/7 this club. And I always have a problem if we lose and I have to look in his eyes, because if the performance wasn't good, if we had the feeling they're not giving 100%, next day to have a look in his eyes, because you know he's giving every day 100%. And no, these guys are amazing. They do everything for this club, and I think it was very, very important for the club, for the future, to get this, because before the training facilities were really poor, the pitches were poor, so it was very difficult to train on a high level. And these guys did an amazing job with the council, Blacktown, and Parramatta. The new stadium is unbelievable. What a great atmosphere. And now our supporters have a home again. They started on a great ground. The decision was there. Okay, this is not our time anymore. This is an old stadium. We need something new for our supporters. And yeah, of course, it took a bit time, but now it's ready and it's a home ground for our supporters. Is there, because these 2-3 years now, there was also for our supporters very difficult to play one game in the end stadium, then the spotless, Marchi, very difficult because you don't have a home. And also for us as coaching staff, players, wasn't easy to handle this. We also need a home where we know, hey, this is our stadium, this is now our home game. And I'm very happy for everyone who is involved in this club, as a supporter, as a member, as a from the board, CEO working for the club. I'm very happy for every single one.
With the training ground, it is an amazing setup, and I've seen some of the junior teams play for Western Sydney Wanderers have been blown away, especially the under-14s team is one of the best young teams I think I've ever seen. But back to what we were saying about that visit I had to Bayern Munich's junior academy, is there a danger that they're going to become too comfortable and too cuddled out there, or is that something that you want to instill in the club to say, no matter if you're playing first team or you're playing under 13s, there's a certain value, a hunger that you have to have, and if I notice it's not there, trouble.
Absolutely. I don't think this is too much. I think this is exactly what this club needs, perfect to work. And no excuses anymore that we couldn't do this because we haven't this. Always excuses. So now it's time to work, and starts with the youth and with us. And we have to bring more than in the past because it wasn't good enough. So now we have to work on a new mentality, because the mentality in the past wasn't good.
What was it that you saw?
Too many selfish guys. We were talking before. We need a day off because I need a rest. Was twice training. So the work rate wasn't the best, you know. And we're talking about professional football, and this is my job. And I always gave the example. It doesn't matter what you do. If you sign somewhere a contract, you have to give 100%. And if you don't want to do it, please tell me, then let's go somewhere. But you're not right here. But also, especially the Australian players, they have to learn what it means to be a professional. This is not only on the training ground you have to be professional, so outside the training ground as well. You know, this is a learning process where we are now, and we have many young ones. They never had this experience, and we have to teach them better. And it starts in the youth, because sometimes I can't blame them, but because they never learned it, they never heard it, and so also inside we have to come on the next level, because at the moment it's okay, but nothing more, and we have to be careful. We're talking too good about ourselves. We celebrate ourselves about our youth, how good our youth is, and I don't think we have these top talents. We have talents, yeah, but no top talents. And I had a statistic now, and if I told this boys today, if we have more than two young players on the pitch, we're losing. And also as a club, we have to be careful what we write down in the media and internet. Are we starting with four players? We end with six. Our academy. How good is this? But we lost the game 3-0. And so we have to find out what we want. If and I hope we want to have success, then is it at the moment very difficult to bring young players in. Mm. If we don't want, then we can bring as much as possible. But you can't win a title, because also the history of the A-League shows all the time the oldest teams then the final win the final. But we want to change it. But for this change, we need top talents. Talents who are hungry to play, who are happy if someone gets injured that I can maybe can catch this place, to have a battle with the older guys. And at the moment, the older guys, they have a look back and they have a laugh. So this also is not a competition there. You need to bring your best performance also a competition.
To
drive it in the right way. But at the moment, it's too easy for our older guys.
Because last year it was out of necessity, really, that you had to bring in young guys, and I think you did that more than just about any other club, any other manager last season. But does that help in a sense for this season, that those young players may have made their mistakes that they need to make to adjust to this level, that this year they'll be more comfortable in that regard?
Definitely they start on a higher level. Yeah, the medal has always two sides. One side that when we were not happy with the season, we wanted to come in the playoffs, we couldn't get there. Otherwise, yeah, many young players had the chance to play because we had a lot of injuries and the players played these games, got the experience. But for the next step, if you want to win something, you need top young ones. Top young ones, because if you only bring talents there, no chance to win something. If they get the next step, if they can try to come on the next level, then I believe there is a chance there. But it's up to the young ones to work harder, to learn quicker, and also for us from coaching staff, not only us, also for the youth coaches, we have to teach them better.
So you've been told by your bosses, success please, don't worry about having to make players that we can sell overseas and a production line, it's trophies you're about.
Yeah, how can I sell a young one? Because he has to play and he has to be good, because I don't send someone to Europe if I think no chance to play there, you know, makes no sense. But it's also a problem here in Australia, you know, players go overseas, fail there and coming back and earn double or three times this much money than before. And this is a madness in my eyes, because he failed. If he was playing, different story, but he failed. He wasn't playing for a half a year because he was not good enough, comes back and earns more money. And this is I think something wrong in the system. And I want, as example, I was talking to Keanu Bacchus, because he's, in my eyes, he's a top talent. And I was talking about the new contract and said, look, stay here, learn from us, because you can't get it better. I know how Europe works. I know what you have to do to play in this league. I think you can play there, but you have to stay 1 year longer, get the men's football in your body. And then I bring you to the airport and send you to Europe, because then I believe you can play there.
Yeah.
And he was listening, signed a new contract with us. One season more, get in your legs, in your body, because this league is perfect for young ones. It's not the highest level, but a good level. It's not normally no pressure there, because nothing can happen. The worst thing, you finish last, but that's it. You can't go down. In Europe, you can go down, and there's a pressure there, because if you go down, 5, 10, 15 people from the office got sacked. So there is a pressure on, you know. And I said, you're here in Paradise City. You can give 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
This is Paradise City, because you can do whatever you want. Nothing will happen. The worst thing is, you sit on the bench or you understand, but if you stay on the pitch, the worst scenario is you lose a game and you finish last, and then, okay, start again. But you can win so much, you know, get get confidence in, get the experience in, maybe fight for a title. What do you want more? Because you have nothing to lose.
What about your big big German you're bringing down here? I nearly called him something else, the BFG. He might be known as that. Alex Meyer, he could come down here and play basketball for the Sydney Kings, but he's playing for the Western Sydney Wanderers, but he's such a good footballer. But at 36, so yeah. What do you want him to bring to this club? Is it purely about goals and that's it, or something else?
It's not a bad start. If he's scoring 20, 25 goals, I wouldn't say no.
And he's capable of doing that?
He definitely has the quality for this, because he's a great finisher. And the funny thing is, you know, he's a big fella, but he's very skillful, a good technique. Now, I wanted to have a striker who is different to them what we have. And he's definitely different. You know, he's from the size different. He's technically better than the players what we have. And also an experienced guy. And this also showed me this league. You can bring a 36-year-old guy. If he's fit, you can bring him in. No problem, you know. What's the name from the Perth guy? Castro. He was player of the year with 37, 38, you know. And this, we have to keep him fit. He has to bring his knowledge in the team, because 28 players at the moment training with us, 14 of them under 21. So we need experienced guys as well. It will not work if we only put the card on the young ones. This is also not fair on them, because they're not ready at the moment. Most of them are not ready at the moment. And I want to give him a chance. If they're on the pitch, I wish they can perform. And this is my job to give them this knowledge that they can perform. And Alex is he came with the right reasons. This is the most important thing for me. He's not coming for the lifestyle. He wanted to do something different. He had enough offers in Germany, Austria, Switzerland wanted him. But he said, nah, don't like this, because I saw it all the time and I want to do something different. And then I got the message and, hey, here we go. In 2 days it was done. Perfect. He's here now.
Easy. One last one. I can't wait for this first derby at Bankwest. How do you find the rivalry with Sydney FC? Is it too nice, or is it where it needs to be with the spice, you know, the derby?
If we play each other, then I like it, because then I can feel the atmosphere. For me, it's a bit too soft before. I can't read anything about it. I never heard something about it. This is in Europe definitely different.
Yeah, I think it'll be different this time around in this ground. And
if we play, then it's always a great atmosphere. It's always also on the pitch. It never was a bad game there. It was always a good game also on the pitch and supporters. Yeah. And I really hope, and this is my target, to bring a win next time for our supporters.
Excellent. It'll be a good start, and I'm sure that you're looking for many more this season. Marcus with Western Sydney Wanderers, thank you so much for your time on the Fox Football Podcast, talking about the old days and the present and a little bit about the future. It is much appreciated.
Thank you very much for having me.